Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day. And we've made it a tradition in this podcast and now videocast to chat with our friend Leslie Eastman, contributor to Legal Insurrection, who's joining us today. Happy Valentine's, Leslie.
Happy Valentine's to you and the rest of the Canto Talk audience. It's a real pleasure to be here one more year to do our special Valentine show and to take a look at the crazy that's in the rest of the world and opine about it.
Yes, a lot of crazy stuff, including some balloons. And by the way, I just wanted to explain my little balloon back here. This balloon, actually, I didn't get it for the show. I actually got it from my wife. So I'm borrowing her Valentine's balloon to do our little podcast today, because balloons have been in the news lately. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about a couple of your absolutely wonderful posts at Legal Insurrection that we'll bring up. So let's get started with balloons, Leslie. Balloons, well, you know, we've always associated balloons with anniversaries or Valentine's Day, birthday parties. In the office, a lot of times when somebody has a birthday, you know, they buy a balloon. But my gosh, the balloons are flying over North America this year, Leslie. So give me your thoughts on these balloons. Could they be UFOs? Could they be from another civilization checking out the Earth? You know, I was thinking, I've got a post. I know it's kind of a long-winded question, but I wanted to say that I've got a post coming out tomorrow saying that those are indeed Martians. They took a look at our border policies and they decided to check out the United States. So anyway, your thoughts on these balloons, Leslie? I'm sure you must have some.
Well, you know, it is, I think the biggest thought I have, it is troubling to think that we have a potentially hostile foreign entity that's allowed to have a device travel across country with surveillance equipment unencumbered without some intervention by our well-qualified and highly trained military. And the subsequent chaos and lack of cohesion in the responses subsequently to that, where there seems to have been a lot of UFOs, a lot of things shot down, leads me to believe that nobody quite knows what they're doing, and they want to obfuscate the level of what they don't know. And we are not going to get all the information we need to really understand completely what's going on. So I hesitate to comment because, you know, I have questions. For example, what are we seeing? What anomalies are we seeing? Are things just been adjusted? The level heightened? So are weather balloons are being picked off? Is it been something that just have not been observed or detected before that we are just not noticing because we have new equipment and the new approaches? So I have a lot of different questions, but I think if you take a look at the arc of the news, especially in the past 3 to 4 months, the real take-home message is that there's no effective leadership in the very top of our government. And as a result, you have bureaucrats and politicians making decisions at a lower level with a great deal more impact. And there is chaos because there is no cohesion in right. any of our responses to any situation. So it's all very disturbing. But I will say this, and this is a positive. It makes for some great memes, and there's been a lot of entertaining memes featuring balloons, and that's good for a chuckle, because you either got to laugh or you got to cry, and, you know, it's Valentine's Day, so let's choose to laugh today and really savor the joy of being alive, at least while we are.
That's right. No, I second your concerns here. I think that this is a very serious matter, the idea of, you know, whatever they are flying over your country undetected. It's a very serious matter, but I completely agree with you at the end of your remarks that you have to laugh sometimes. But the lack of leadership here really troubles me, the lack of an explanation, even if they don't know exactly what it is, and that could be very legitimate. At least some kind of an explanation saying, look, we're looking at it, our people are looking at it. You know, we will get back to you as soon as we have something official, but the White House is on top of it. Reminds me a little bit of, from the history books, of when, you know, President Kennedy went to the nation to talk about the missile crisis. That was a much more complicated issue, I know. But he went fairly quickly to the country to explain what was going on. And I think that's what people are looking for. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not expecting President Biden to come out tonight and explain everything in detail, because they may not know. And it's totally legitimate that they may not know. But the lack of message is what's scary. I mean, the connection, the disconnect from what's going on. And then, of course, then the speculation begins. And you have, you know, the fun with UFOs and could this be this? Could this be that? You know, I thought it was fascinating, Leslie, that NORAD, I just learned about this. NORAD, you know, the North American Defense Organization, they were founded by President Eisenhower in the 1950s, and they had never shot anything over North America in 60 years. And now all of a sudden, we've had four in 1 week. That in itself raises questions about who's running the show. And I just, again, I'm not expecting the politician or the president to be perfect, but a statement would have been worthwhile. A statement would have been, you know, worthwhile. And in the absence of one, then you get all the confusion, Leslie.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But also part of the trouble is, and this goes to a longer term problem, how much can we trust what the media is presenting to us? After all, when you take a look at what happened on Twitter and the Russian collusion storyline that was promoted and turned out to be untrue, when you take a look at all the data on COVID and the assertions by our public health officials that also turned out to be untrue, we've lost a lot of trust and faith in our experts and our press. So part of the unrest and uneasiness at this point comes from the past few years where the press has not behaved in the best interest of the company, nor per what they are required really to do to be effective, and that is to ask serious questions and not promote the narrative for one particular party. And our public health experts, the same thing. They have distorted science and facts to present certain narratives. And so the public really has no trust in anything that's being presented. And this is another component, I think, what we're seeing when you're talking about the balloon situation, mm-hmm. as with a variety of other situations, is that the American public feels abandoned by both our press and our experts, and there is no cohesive leadership coming out of Washington, D.C., and the only cohesive leadership seems to be coming from a few states where the governors of those states seem to have their priorities in line. So there's right. some regional effective leadership, but it stops at that level.
No, I think you're exactly right about the lack of leadership and the experience here recently. I saw something in the news here this morning. Remember that fellow Clapper? Is that his name, Clapper? Who was one of the so-called 50 experts who said that the Russia disinformation. Now he's really pulling a fast one. Now he's saying, well, you know, I was misunderstood or it was misrepresented. Well, he's picking a good time to let us know that. It would have been a heck of a lot better 2 years ago if he had said that, or 2.5 years ago. But I think that's part of the problem, that, you know, it, it that people like Clapper, is that his name, Clapper? Yeah.
Yeah.
They participated in that, and now they're trying to get out of it. And overall, you know, the whole Russia thing, and overall, I think you're exactly right about the lack of trust. I think that drives a lot of this, and that if people, if we had, and again, getting back to the missile crisis example that I said a minute ago, I think at that time there was a very high level of confidence that the president would be leveling with you, if you know what I mean, in that speech. That he would be leveling with you. You may not like Kennedy, half of the country didn't vote for him, but that's okay. There was a level of confidence in him that people were saying, okay, if he's saying this is serious, this is serious. But if Joe Biden came out tomorrow and gave a speech, you know, and the kinds of speeches that he give are so incoherent, I think he might actually make things worse, Leslie.
I have to concur. We can only hope that better choices are made in the future. And that's all we can hope for at this point. When you have a military whose interest is in the social justice, critical race theory, diversity, you know, equity, inclusion, when you have leaders who are there touting the race of construction workers as opposed to focusing in on serious infrastructure related to transportation, it goes up and down the line. The priorities are not what they need to be for the best outcome for the American people. And we're seeing it across the board, up and down, and anything that our federal government has a direct impact on policy.
That's right. No, I think you're right on that. Well, let me take you to another topic. On Sunday, we had the Super Bowl, and I have to confess, I thought the game was great, the game itself. And I think right now the NFL actually has a very good product. The product is the teams they have, they're putting in the postseason, some young quarterbacks. I mean, they have a tremendous product. They're at a high point in the history of the NFL right now, as far as the product, that is the game. But then it's what everything around it is what confuses me. You know, the why do we have to have a black national anthem? You know, what is that all about? That doesn't make any sense to me. We have one national anthem. Now you can, that song that lady sang, as I understand, it has a different title and is a song that goes back years, and that's okay. I don't mind that they sing that song, but not call it the black national anthem, Leslie. That's where I get upset. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm so tired of it, I've tuned it out. And I think a lot of people are beginning to tune it out. Where when you are forcing a narrative, when you're forcing your morality on other people, it just doesn't work. People either embrace it or they don't, and they get tired of the moral justice lectures, especially when they are going to a place to be entertained and to escape from all the moralizing and all the current events and all the political drama. And it gets tuned out, and it undermines everything those people are doing, except if they're intending to drive wedges between people based on skin color and sense. I don't participate in that. I ignore it. And I think a lot of other people have tuned it out too. So do what you need to do, but do not think that many of us are, you know, we are not racist. We know we're not racist. So do what you need to do, but realize that when we make entertainment choices, when we make choices in what we're going to buy, how we spend our time, that is likely to have the opposite effect of what you intended. Because
I agree.
People will start make choices based on what is good for them and what makes them feel good. And guilt tripping and making people responsible for ancestors, or even for ancestors, not even what their ancestors did, but what other people's ancestors did, is not a healthy way. The best way to go forward is looking at today and forward, and making your best choices for your best self and your success, and not trying to tear other people, other cultures, other races down in a quest for making your life better. Just not a healthy approach to to.
I agree.
Here I am. Here, I'm special. Especially at the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl truly is all American. It is like our one big sports national holiday that's unique to us. And this should be really a celebration of everything that's American and not diversity, equity, inclusion, little groups, and highlighting little groups. It should be a celebration of us all. And
I agree.
The nice thing about this particular Super Bowl were the teams. The team, they played with a hard-won battle on the edge of the seat. Great football. I watched one game of the year. This year was it. I really enjoyed it. But I got to be honest, halftime show, hot mess. Sorry, didn't
right.
like it. You can't convince me it was good. You know, if you enjoyed it, great. I did not, but that's okay. Had my chili, had my beer, enjoyed my game.
Well, it's interesting because I have not watched the halftime show for a long time either. What I usually do is eat, like you did, or sometimes I turn on my little transistor radio and I hear the analysis, the actual football analysis of the first half. That actually is more enjoyable to me than watching what we saw the other day. I don't even know who this singer is, the lady who was singing. I'm so disconnected from that kind of music. I don't even know who she is. But the idea that you would make, first of all, it changes the game because these halftime shows are longer than the normal game. So it takes you away from the game for whatever it is, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. When all I want to do is have the regular halftime time, which is, I think, 15 minutes, and then have the guys get back on the field because, as you say, they're such great athletes. These guys are tremendous. That's the beauty right now of the NFL. They've got a wonderful product to put on the field, but they go off on these. Now, the commercials, most of the time, I don't really pay attention to them either. Those are the moments to get up and do something else, or walk and refill your drink. Or walk and, well, in our case, we were taking care of Noah and Lincoln. So those were a good time to pick them up and do something with them. But I you can keep the commercials. You can keep everything else, all the woke stuff. Just give me the game because the game is what I tune in to watch. And I agree with you 100%, Leslie. This is one of the very few times when the whole nation comes together. And we should be highlighting the things that are good about the country. Not all these reminders about how terrible we were 500 years ago or 300. I mean, we could do a whole, Leslie, we could do a whole documentary on how mankind was terrible to itself 300 years ago. A lot of other people were.
3,000
I mean,
years ago, you know, since the beginning of time.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know.
Humans are tremendous and complicated and run the spectrum and, you know, that we are blessed to live in a country which allows us to be our best self. If we put
right.
the energy into it, that is a grace. And hopefully we are going to continue to do that in the future for our generation and the generations coming up behind us.
That's right. And you start thinking about those generations when you have little grandchildren, all of a sudden, you're thinking not just 20 years ahead, but you're thinking 50, 60 years down the road. Let me say hello to our friend, I am, who is tuning in. He said, good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon, my friend. I hope you're enjoying our chat here with the beautiful Leslie Eastman of Legal Insurrection. All right. Well, let's just briefly talk about the vice president, Harris, who seems to be having a few problems, not with you and me, who didn't vote for her, but the people who voted for her, the Democrats, they're a little concerned about her electability, Leslie. So what is your reaction to that?
Well, I have to say, looking at the entire array of Democrat leadership, she's no better or worse than any of them. Just happens to be in the awkward position of being the vice president. And the vice president is, if you can't kick the president directly, you kick the vice president around. So that's just the short straw she's drawn. And I am sure part of it is because when you're looking ahead at 2024 and 2028, there are people who would like to be presidential candidates, and she, by default, and where her position is now, puts her in line for being one of those few. Whether or not she gets the chance, it's an open field, and wish her tons of good luck, but I don't think she's any worse, any less confident, any less coherent than any of the other Democrats not out there. There is not one Democrat that I would trust, not one Democrat who looks like they're effective in any leadership position. And the only benefit that the Democrats have is a press who presents their narratives unchallenged.
Right. That's exactly right. Now, one thing she does have, the vice president, that is, she does have a great laugh. And I'm being cynical when I say that. She has, what do they call it? The crackle? Right.
Yeah, I must admit, I can't cast stones. My laugh is unique too. So I really can't go there. I feel for her because I've been there before. And when I let loose, yeah, it's probably the not most attractive quality I possess. But
it's a nervous reaction, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nervous, it's not something you do on purpose. I think you just,
no.
And that's what I see with her. I mean, she just seems to laugh. It's like the, you know,
she's not natural in front of her audience.
Right.
And she's not natural because she doesn't know enough about the issues or enough about how to be natural and that kind of, because she's not presenting the truth as she sees it. She's presenting a narrative or a script, and that forces you to be a bit unnatural. Whereas opposed to you and I dialogue together, you mean it's like we could have in a beer at a local pub. We don't have a script, we don't have a narrative, we have our observations,
right.
We're persuadable, and the same thing with her and any other Democrat that you happen to see coming on up. And that's also true of many Republicans, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Very few real effective natural leaders out there nowadays, and we're looking forward to seeing how the field unveils in the 2024 election cycle. I don't really have a dog in this fight. I'm just praying for the best possible results for the country, however
right.
that turns out.
And that's it. I think this is a very important election. I know we've said that before, but I do think 2024 is important because there's probably going to be a couple of places in the Supreme Court that will be filled. And I think it's extremely important that the right person makes those appointments. Okay, a couple of, one of the things we love about you at Legal Insurrection is that you always write some great posts, and a couple of them that I'd like you to develop a little bit today. Let's start with the second one first. A piece of the sun fell off. Explain that to people like me who don't know a darn thing about this. So explain what happened.
Yeah, it's basically when you're looking at the sun itself, and astronomers can explain this better than I can. I am a humble geologist with a chemistry degree and a biochemistry background. My interest in space comes from my son, who's, because of his position. So I've been teaching him astronomy, raising him with astronomy, sharing with him, and then learning from him as he's gone through the space elements and space programs at the Air Force Academy. And so you've got the sun and the high temperature, and at high temperatures, you've got a bunch of ions and matter called plasma. And what happens is that there's a few things going on with the sun. Like the Earth, it has its own magnetic field, and the magnetic fields have a polar north and a polar south, and they've been shifting back. They shift back and forth, and also the outer portion has like a plasma. And what happens occasionally is that there's a prominence, a shot of plasma that comes off and it shoots off. And apparently what happened is prominence broke off, went up north, and began circling around the north polar vortex of the sun, which was an unusual event. And apparently the sun goes through these cycles every 11 years or so. But because of the James Webb Space Telescope and the infrared equipment that are up there, the telescope has been able to turn itself toward the sun and get a really good picture of this sort of activity. And so it becomes a time to learn more about our sun, because it's always been my opinion that when you're looking at Earth and temperatures, instead of a trace gas in our atmosphere, perhaps you should be looking at our star that actually sends energy our way at tremendous levels. And if changes in our sun might impact changes in the Earth and its atmosphere, that might be a worthwhile endeavor to truly study, instead of making all these narrative-driven mandates on gas stoves, you know, fossil fuel cars, and other sources of energy on Earth. So that is the reason I do enjoy being the science and technical editor at Legal Insurrection. I'm able to keep up with some of the space science, but also really share about the heartbeat of our solar system, the sun. And it's meant so many interesting things that come about because of the sun and what it does. And one of the interesting things I discovered is that the temperatures on other planets have been going up and down to about the same degree, more or less, on planet Earth. So you cannot convince me that a trace gas and its presence is impacting our climate that substantially. And another paper I recently covered for Legal Insurrection indicated that the level of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere was about four times higher 60,000 years or so ago. And you see, there was a lot of life at that time. You heard a lot of species at the time. People and the life was not keeling over and dying. And in fact, plants enjoy carbon dioxide, so it's probably better for everybody if we have more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Yes, let's pollute as little as we can, but let's be realistic about carbon dioxide and emissions.
Well, you know what President Biden said at the State of the Union, that we'll need oil for at least another 10 years. So I thought that was almost, I had to laugh because that was so, I mean, I know what he was trying to say, but I mean, for him to say something like that after they want to cut off all the gas cars or whatever, it just made me laugh. Now, let's go to the next topic, because I think this one is closer, not closer to home necessarily, but more serious, and that is what just happened in Ohio. A story that, by the way, has not been covered that much. I mean, I've seen it a little bit, but not much. But apparently a train, right, there was a derailment, and chemical gas went out. So please tell me about that.
Well, you know, like yourself, it was on my radar to cover before we published our first story, simply because, you know, when I'm covering the news, you know, I like to keep it sort of a national level, and it had been regional up to a point. And I think what happened is that the response to it, people are not trusting the experts. And this goes back to what I said before. And there's a lot of information that has not been forthcoming. And when you are talking trains, it's important to understand trains carry a lot of the chemicals essential for industry and agriculture. They're the most cost efficient. They are relatively safe. In my post today, I cover the safety record, which is good. Unfortunately, there have been changes into personnel requirements that may be putting a little strain on people and their abilities to deal with the safety issues at train. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know why this train derailed. Serious investigation needs to be done. Root causes need to be located. But the component of it is the people exposed in that area do not trust the information they're getting. And I don't know if it's because they haven't gotten the information, or they've gotten information and it hasn't been presented in a way that makes it understandable. There were a number of different chemicals on that train, apparently, and it was difficult for them, for whatever reason, could have been circumstances of derailment, could have been other factors, that they didn't know the materials in there. But when they discovered the materials, there were three of those components. That was ethylhexylacrylate, that was the vinyl chloride, and that was the isobutylene. All of these chemicals in a tank situation, they can either polymerize or form explosive boiling liquid, explosive vapor, and detonate. In other words, when that train derailed and a fire started, those tanks were at serious risk to having a hazardous polymerization reaction start or exploding. And instead of just having the smoke from the fires, they could have had a massive explosion with all the subsequent devastation, as well as all the decomposition products they're now dealing with. So the response, from what I'm able to understand, was what a standard response to that kind of situation was. So that's component one. Component two is, what were the combustion products and what were the general exposure levels and how much of the chemicals got onto the environment? And that requires much more information than I get. And I do believe the reports about fish kills and chicken dying and illnesses, because there are a lot of different compounds that were coming out of there that could cause acute health effects as well as chronic health effects. So the company and the federal government should be out there, should be doing the testing, should be relaying the information and making accommodations for everything that was exposed and everybody who was potentially exposed. Straight up front, yeah, it's bad. And put it all in perspective. Because when trains derail with chemicals, the potential for a catastrophic experience is there. And though catastrophic experiences are rare, they do happen, and this happens to be one of the incidents. So there's a lot more that needs to come out. But it goes back is that the people exposed do not trust the information that they're getting. They feel that they're being glad-handed. And also, a large portion of them, because it's Ohio, feel that they're being ignored by the Biden administration because if they're not part of the people who would be inclined to vote for members of the Biden administration, right, and Democrats, they feel like they're being ignored. And there is a lot of evidence that that people, you know, California, our red areas are neglected by Sacramento because they want to cater to the people who support them. And that is bad. Because, you know, that is a lot of good farmland. Those are Americans who pay taxes that deserve the protections of the federal government and an effective response.
Yeah.
Without more information, it's hard for me to say what went wrong, what went right, what needs to change. But clearly, a detailed investigation done up front without a narrative needs to be done, and the reasonable concerns of these people need to be addressed.
Well, and that's, and once again, I mean, I agree with you again, because this would have been another opportunity, getting back to the balloons and the absence of leadership. This would have been a great opportunity for the president to make a statement, for the Secretary of Transportation to make a statement, and to do something, you know, at least make a statement. They don't have to answer all the questions, but at least make a statement. And that's what's going on here, an absence of statements. I mean, an absence of, you know, you don't see the responsible people. I mean, you saw the Secretary of Transportation making an idiotic presentation about racism and infrastructure. Well, that, you know, that's stupid. First of all, it's a stupid remark. And number two, he should be talking about this derailment. Well, Leslie, we're out of time, as always happens, but that only means you have another invitation.
I do like to come here at least once a month because there's a lot of news happening, and I love sharing it with you, Sylvia, and your audience, who have always been very kind and very wonderful to me. And really blessed to have you as a friend and your audience as supporters. And please check out Legal Insurrection, you know, like us, support us. We are a voice out there fighting against critical race theory, diversity, equity and inclusion that stifles freedoms on campus and in other realms. And we really, really, really you know, need your support and appreciate all that we get. Thank you.
Well, and you're absolutely wonderful. What you write and what everybody else at that site, Legal Insurrection, write, I check it every day, and I particularly like your stuff because your stuff is so informative. And now, happy Valentine's. I see my little balloon back here. Happy Valentine's Day to you and to your family. And
yes.
I hope that something very nice happens to you today on Valentine's Day.
We will definitely have to tune in for our annual St. Patrick's show.
Well, that's for sure.
I will
that's
check in
sure.
with you then.
Well, that's for sure. But thank you so much, and a lot of success to you at Legal Insurrection. And as always, thank you for your time, Leslie. And thank you for everybody
bye.
For tuning in. And happy Valentine's Day to everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And until the next time, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye, everybody.